my home down payment would be $74,000. But with my VA home loan, my down payment is zero. My service was then. My benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Oh, Brian Koberger. It's been a very interesting week watching the evidence continue to come out since Judge Stephen Hippler put that order out saying, we're not going to hide things anymore. We're going to put these things out here in the open. And oh my gosh, things are coming out in the open. And not in the favor of Brian Koberger. Joining me to discuss, Robin Drieg, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. The big bombshells over the last week have been he bought the knife and he bought the sheath and he bought the sharpener. And then he allegedly took a selfie, and we'll get to all of that in a second. But when you first heard the news, and we've been speculating on it for quite some time, of if he bought the knife, if we can get the receipt for that, feels like game over. Now that we're here, what do you think?
You know, it's like you and I say all the time, you know, it's these predictable behavior patterns, and the more and more you keep filling in these data points, it just keeps reconfirming all things we've had conjecture on from the beginning. And I think one of the things that you and I said at the very onset, and we're kind of focused on a little bit, was why does the prosecution seem not to push back so much? Every time defense tries something a little crazy, a little out of line, or just something a little different. And it's because one of our conjecture was they must feel very, very confident with what they do have. And boom, yes. And I think there's going to be more.
I completely agree. We still do not know a lot about his digital footprint. We're learning more and more, and the shopping history certainly one of that. The revelation being he bought the K-Bar knife, the same one that was used in this crime, or the same type of one at the very least, same sheath. And I found it interesting too, and I connected some dots on this, the sharpener, which, yeah. Okay, I mean, I guess if you're going to buy a knife, I guess you want a sharpener. That makes sense. But if all of these things that have been claimed are correct in terms of the surviving roommates, we had the statement that came out the other week when those the text messages were revealed and all of that. One of them saying it looked like the guy with the bushy eyebrows, and I'm just paraphrasing, like he had some sort of vacuum type attachment that he was carrying out of the house with him, which again, everybody's like, that, like, was he trying to clean up? If you look at the K-Bar knife sharpener, if you don't know what you're looking at and it's dark and somebody's kind of rushing on it, it looks like a vacuum attachment.
Yeah, and it's also interesting about the knife sharpener. So, you know, I'm a former Marine.
Yeah.
I've actually owned K-Bars.
Yeah.
And unless you plan on using the knife, you're not going to sharpen a knife. In other words, he's not a collector that was collecting knives. Mm-hmm. And again, when we look at a pattern's behavior, does he own other knives? Has he sharpened other knives? Does he use a knife for anything? So see what I mean? I see. Mm-hmm. So the only reason to sharpen a blade is if you're going to use a blade, and use it for what? So yeah. Again, I think just a knife sharpener unto itself is another data point that is damning.
It is. I also find it odd that you'd bring the sharpener to the crime. I don't know. I mean, I don't use knives. I mean, other than when I'm cooking. But I sharpen my knives a lot when I'm cooking. So I don't know, if you're going to murder people, do you bring the sharpener? Or is that kind of like you got it sharpened before you get there? Or are you afraid it's going to get dulled down and you got to sharpen it? I mean, it's a weird question.
It's interesting, you know, if you're going to do that reverse, you know, mindset that we do and place ourselves in his position the best we can from a broken brain.
Yeah.
The only thing you can think of, because again, you know, from a pattern behavior, whether it's him or not, because again, not convicted yet, but it's like, first time doing something like this, I'm not quite sure. For anyone, you don't know how long a blade will stay sharp. So maybe you're thinking in your mind, I have to bring something along with me. You know, first time, you know, someone, you know, shoots an animal in the wild and they're butchering it, you know, how long does that blade stay sharp? Mm-hmm. So do they bring a knife sharpener with me? I don't know, as I've never hunted like that before. But, you know, so it begs a question, or that begs a question. It illustrates, again, his lack of reps, as we call them, in having done this, because it's, if it's your first time, you don't have the, you know, the combination of education and experience, which makes wisdom, as I've said numerous times, to actually do it. It's why everything he does, he seems to have contracted his behaviors of what he should and shouldn't do to not get caught in a very small box and window. And then outside of that box, he blows it. And that's why he was caught. So, because inside that box, he did everything he's supposed to do. But outside that box, like shopping for Amazon for K-bars, buying knife sharpeners, you know, is outside the box. You know, turning your cell phone off, but only during this period of time. He should have not been using it ever outside of this box. So you see what I mean? He was operating within a very small box that wisdom would have said, hey, we need a larger box to establish a pattern to protect myself from incriminating myself by doing stupid.
There's knowledge and there's wisdom. And they're two different things. Yep. And Koberger, just with his youth, I guess you could say, you know, he had knowledge. You know, he was a smart guy. He's going in for his PhD in criminology. It takes a little work to get there. But the wisdom is what comes with experience and age and reps. And that's something he obviously did not have. One of those things would be, I guess, buying the murder weapon on Amazon. And I guess completely eluding you that you think no one's going to look back at your shopping history. But I guess if you also think you're not going to get caught, you don't even consider it.
No, and think about this too. So you hit a really key point there that we've said before, and that is his knowledge and his study of doing things like this was vast because he's working on his PhD. But when you're working on a PhD, what are you studying? You're studying past cases. His knowledge was coming from past cases. Past cases he's studying, or anyone that was attempting to do this, again, innocent, proven guilty, did include current modern technologies and techniques that were used against him. Mm-hmm. In other words, how often did he study in the course of his PhD search histories and buying histories on Amazon? How often was he studying DNA, touch DNA in his studies, because it hasn't been used on any of the case studies that he had studied? See what I mean? So his knowledge base was also a bit archaic for today's criminal.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's how that system would work.
In other words, if he was trying to fit an MLK or Ted Bundy profile and their behaviors, because that's the type of people he had studied. But our advances in criminology had advanced a lot. Even the cell phone. Mm-hmm. He knew to turn the cell phone off, but he didn't know to turn the cell phone off for months and maybe a year in advance of that, because they're going to go back like that. He knew not to put the trash in his own trash, but put in the neighbor's trash, but only since you got home. See what I mean? Why the neighbor's trash? So again, this database sets of data was, I think, really limited to those he had studied, without a practical application of today's criminology.
Outdated data is basically what he was operating on in his mind. I think so. And he was putting, if it's him, you know, he was putting a lot of weight on, you know, how you would commit a crime in 1995. You might be able to do it that way and get away with it better. The fact that we have the history now of him buying this knife, and then after the fact, after the murders, his history shows he goes back to Amazon and looks again at the same knife. And I don't believe he bought a new one, but it was, you know, looked at, considered. What does that tell us, I guess, of anything about this case, about that piece of evidence, that he left the sheath there? We still don't know what actually happened to the knife itself. Why would he be going back and looking at this again? Is he, you know, wanting to get a replacement sheath, or is this so he has it in his possession, so if they ever do look at him, oh, I got my knife right here. Now, it couldn't have possibly been mine. I'm just trying to think, what is going on in that brain of his, that broken brain, that this is going to be a solution to a problem that he's facing?
I think that's one of the options and possibilities, that he was looking to replace that which he lost. There's also the possibility that he liked the method for his execution of his horrendous crime and he wanted to use it again. Mm-hmm. And there's also the possibility that I'm kind of thinking of just him as individual of kind of being, again, just from the third party looking in, you know, of maybe being a bit OCD and he's going to really fixate on exactly how he did what he did with what he did it with. And he was going to kind of maybe examine whether that was effective or not effective or not. I think he was going to study himself and how that actually worked. And because this is what serial killers in infancy do is they examine what they did and think about how could they do it better next time. So that might've been part of his own self-study as well.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if he was, thinking about, well, let's go for a round two somewhere.
I think I'm on board with that. That's exactly what was going to happen next. This was not going to be a one off. I mean, because this thing about it. So people that are murdered and have violence done against them, that there's always a personal connection. Like we've said, 95 to 98% of the time, there's a personal connection because of vengeance, feelings of hatred, anger, resentment, all the negative emotions towards an individual or an organization, institution, that all that rage gets directed at. And it's an arc of their lives that they're going to escalate the violence. When you're dealing with someone that doesn't have necessarily a deep connection at all, we don't know what prosecution knows or defense knows at this point when it comes to any connection at all, and we're going to start entering the world and realm of possibility of serial killer, you know, there's a whole different kind of mindset that the reason by which they're doing it for a fantasy world. They're trying to fulfill an emotional fantasy to get an emotional response that they haven't felt in anything before, get that rush that they've been missing because they have psychopathy, they have a lack of empathy, as he's just self-described in his writings earlier in life. And so this might have been just the first, most likely, to a series of what he was going to do, like serial killers do, to get that fantasy, to get that rush, you know. And that kind of brings us to the point too, you know, of that selfie he took. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, you know, when you there's going to be a lot of conjecture, a lot of theories out there on that, and people a lot more professional probably about it than I am. But when you look at that, you know, right there, that thumbs up, what serial killers, not saying he's a serial killer, who knows at this point, not convicted or not, obviously, but they're trophy. You know, they all go for trophies in some way. And the point of a trophy, the point of how they position bodies and do these things is so they can remember it and remember that fantasy to get that same rush. In this case, it doesn't appear to be, again, we don't know all the evidence yet, any trophy that was taken from the scene. Bodies didn't have time to necessarily be staged for his own mental fantasy. So what's he have to do to remember the moment? Bam.
Yeah. Thumbs up. After he gets his shower and he gets all cleaned up.
So it'd be interesting too, is, you know, because kind of thinking about what this could serve in a courtroom is if you then, I don't have the ability to put my hand over it, but if you put your hand right above his nose there and then show that photo to the one surviving, you know, the one, you know, the survivor who saw the bushy eyebrow.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Just kind of, I got to see.
Take that, because, you know, there you go. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Take that and show that in the courtroom.
Yeah. It's distinctive without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, you could put a, you can just draw on that and you put a mask and go,
You can generate an AI, photo of that, you know, of what it would look like as she described it and then show it to her. And then, so, who knows how she's been through a lot of trauma, the one surviving roommate. I don't guarantee, but you put that in the courtroom with that image on there, and watch the emotional response she has to actually seeing what she saw that night.
Yeah.
You're going to know whether it's accurate or not.
You're going to get a trigger response pretty quick there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The selfie itself, again, it's insane. If he did this, if there's one thing that's going to get him in front of a firing squad, it's this.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Tony, one more thing to look at in this photo too.
Yeah.
So think about everything, again, just things that start popping out at you. Think about all the images we've seen of Koberger to this point. What's different in this photo?
He's smiling. It's the only one he's smiling in.
What did we just spend our time talking about? A lack of emotional response, and this was going to be the only thing that gave an emotional response, and there it is.
Yeah.
He feels an emotion. Yeah. First time we've seen it.
And that's what drives some of these people. They have to go something? To these extremes.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So the conjecture being, so again, if I was the prosecution, that's exactly what I would be highlighting right now. Is like, here's someone who's self-described, does not have an emotional response to anything, has that visual snow issue going on in life and everything else, as he has described himself as being, at being non-emotional, non-responsive to anything. All the photos, and then I'd show a series of photos of him in the courtroom, photos of him everywhere in life where he's just got the stoic, non-demonstrative facial expressions always. And the only facial expression we've ever seen ever of him that shows any kind of emotion is what they're claiming happened after the murder there. That's exactly what I'd be pointing out.
It's ghoulish. I don't know any way to describe it. It's just ghoulish. But I also think there's a lot to this picture. It's in front of a shower. I mean, of all the places you could take a selfie, of all the places you could do it, if you want to take one, you're doing it in front of your shower that doesn't appear to have a shower curtain. I don't know that that means anything, but it's interesting. But you're there, and he's very clean, very like white, bright white shirt. It's all buttoned up. He's got his hair slicked back. You know, he's freshly cleaned with the thumbs up, ready for the day. Is this picture just for him, or is this, I was also wondering, and again, this is where we don't know so much of the digital footprint yet. I mean, is this something where, hey, this is for his incel buddies if he has them? Because I wouldn't be surprised if he was involved in that sort of, you know, self-commiserating community of people who are just insane, and their hatred towards women of, hey, you know, got one for the team or whatever the hell he's telling himself.
Yeah, what we'll see when they, you know, when we go to trial, if there's more to the digital footprint in his communication with an incel group or not. But we don't have data on that yet.
Yeah, it's speculation.
At this point, I think that's for him.
Is it, are we dealing with confirmation bias right now? Because a lot of people are pointing to this picture. Yeah. And I know the answer is yes. But I want to get,
there's no doubt.
I want to get your take, and you know where I'm going with this, is the thumb. It does look a little bit, it's a pretty grainy photo, but it looks like there might have been some friction there on that thumb. I mean, if you're stabbing, you're gonna get that friction in that exact spot. Is that a stretch, or are we seeing something here?
Maybe he'd be wearing gloves though at that time. It's interesting. So here's what's also interesting, Tony. When you looked at him, you were describing him as if he was post shower. When I'm looking at him, I'm looking at possibly someone who just came in from something that caused him to be really sweaty with a mask on and a hat on.
So, interesting. We have two different takes on that on our initial. Yeah,
so that's why I mean, that's where there's so many different takes you could have on this, because it looks like, you know, I see a shirt that's buttoned up that would keep any kind of splatter off of him, you know, going around the rest of the body. And it looks like he could have just come in and he's about to go in the shower from something he just did. And he's all hot and sweaty from it. So it's either, you know, glass half full, glass half empty. Who knows? But there's a lot of possibilities there.
I don't know. You're the one with the FBI experience being
what a conjecture train we're on.
My God, like, I'm going to yield to your because God.
It's just the first impressions we get.
Behaviorally, that's interesting. That I didn't think of it that way.
And so when you look at that too, I really wish we had other photos of him in this same time period, because it'd be really interesting. Because to me, I mean, just look at the eyes. You look at the skin tone. I mean, this looks like someone who's been up all night. He looks exhausted. He looks tired.
Vampire.
But at the same time, it's one data point, so we have nothing to compare it to. This could be completely his normal look, which is kind of as it is. But again, you can't judge it. It's a standalone shot. That's why I really wish we had more data points to compare it to, which they might. Who knows? I do think, though, that's most likely taken for his own benefit, because think about it. serial killers, they like to remember the moment because this is the emotion it creates.
Yeah. It'll bring him back to this happiness.
Yes.
As weird as that is. But that this is a moment of a rare moment of happiness, I'm going to say, in his life. That's my conjecture.
So you can conjecture out on this one that this would be part of, again, if this was able to continue with someone like this. Okay, let's just take his name out of this. Someone like this. Let's say this person is the person that did it. This would be part of their trophies now. I think if other murders, that happened along the train, we'd start seeing a collection of these types of photos.
It's interesting because so many times we see like an object. I don't think I've ever seen a selfie as the photo. And I wonder if that's going to be a new thing because, it is a relatively new thing that people are taking selfies the way they are.
I think it's also part of how he did what he did and where he did it and who he did it to. Mm-hmm. He didn't have like other serial killers we've seen. It's been really in remote areas. It's been areas that they really control the environment and the time of that environment. So they could really do a lot of things to the bodies, to position them, to hide them, to stage them in areas that gave them that fantasy world that they're looking for. Where he did this didn't allow him to do that because of the time constraints he was put on. Plus, there's a friggin' witness in the house still. It's interesting. I don't think he understood necessarily what he needed to get out of this, that he was actually doing this for this emotional response in order to relive that emotional response, what he's going to have to do in order to do that, like staging and all these other things, trophies or whatever it is. And so when he came back from it, he might be saying to himself, how am I going to relive this moment? Mm-hmm. Because it's gone now unless I can do something. Bam.
I think we have the answer.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.